I think that that underlines the difficulties in trying to get a local population engaged with an issue, and maybe Mark Sarner can talk a bit about that. He is the president of Manifest Communications. So, Mark, it's all yours once we get your...
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm going to take a slightly different approach, get up from the toilet, so to speak. Lorette asked me to come and speak after we met at a conference put on by the conference board about determinants of health and the convergence of business and health interests, and I've adapted that presentation slightly for the purpose of today's discussion, and I'm calling it Harnessing the Power of an Idea, the Social Marketing Challenge. I would point out to you that social marketing is my discipline. Our company is focused solely on the marketing of social issues, causes, and ideas, and we have been doing that work since 1981. Health has been the biggest focus of our work over that time. Health promotion, health policy, health advocacy. So I bring a certain amount of experience and perspective and considerable humility to the presentation. I'm going to give you an overview of a way of thinking and potentially a way of acting to take an idea like this, the convergence concept, and make it more powerful, more influential, and diffuse it faster than it'll diffuse itself. Because clearly, as we've heard, the world is moving in a certain direction. The question is how far, how fast, and how fairly. So this is an approach, a technology, if you will, that can help us think about that, adapted from what we've learned over the years. There's no question that the agenda is ambitious, and as we heard in the first morning presentations, there's a remarkable urgency to this. It can't happen fast enough. There's science involved here. For all the experimentation, we want to understand what works, and we want to have a scientific approach to what works, and we want to be able to translate that science in simple, clear, and compelling terms. There's a message. The message we have to get out is one that spreads effectively on its own, like a virus. The question was asked earlier, why can't we get people to understand the nature of the problem? And in fact, there's no evidence that people understanding the nature of a problem will actually be able to do much about it. In fact, the reverse often happens. We become dispirited. We become discouraged and actually turn off. And you've seen that over the years in the environmental movement. People are very aware of the problem. But as was also said this morning, solutions are what generate excitement and energy. So what the message is has a big effect on how it will be effectively adopted by others. Action. Action is the bottom line. We need to act. We've seen examples of action. But the question is, how do we create a critical mass of action over a wide world and addressing very, very big problems? So it's not what people think, it's not what people know, it's not even what people believe, it's what people do. And motivation actually follows action. So we have to keep trying, and keep acting and acting and acting. And if we do that, there's no question that we will get there. As Edison, I think, said in defining how he was so successful as an inventor, he said, and I'm paraphrasing, I kept failing and failing and failing until I succeeded. And I think we have to take the same approach in addressing these problems. Act, act, act. Learn from action through science. There's no question that this is a compelling challenge. What I believe we need to do is to create a single branded idea that captures hearts and minds. Somehow we've got to take from business what business has shown is effective, the branding of ideas, but we want to do this in a social context. We've heard about the term social business, and that's a very fair way of thinking about what we're trying to achieve, but we have to adopt and adapt principles of conventional business to move the world in the way we want to, how people feel and what they think will influence in turn what they do. Branding of a social nature works. We need to establish a beachhead of engagement among stakeholders and publics. We're too aware of massive problems and not aware enough of how you actually generate change over time. We have to do business somewhere with someone, and we heard about local solutions that can be scaled up, the trickle-up effect and so on. You have to start somewhere. And as a marketer, you try to find that segment of the market that is most likely to adapt, to adopt your ideas and put them into use. It's very, very important for us to think about segmentation, about prioritization in order to build that beachhead, because it's a beachhead of people that are engaged and interested, and people affect people. So if we can get people to do this, and we use diffusion of innovation theory as our guide very, very often, we can understand that social change happens when people watch other people and then get with the program. So the beachhead we have to establish sounds like it's already established, but we've got to make sure we understand it and we sustain it so it doesn't burn out. And we heard this morning about how many NGO programs and other programs do not have staying power. And business, of course, only succeeds when it has staying power. Momentum. Everything is about momentum, about making sure that we get something going, that we keep it going, and we sustain that momentum over time. Many things are flash fires. They're fads. They're here today and gone tomorrow. We see that in the social sector as much as we see it in the conventional world. So momentum over time is the critical, critical thing that we need to do. And it's by no means easy to get it going, nor is it easy to sustain it. The strategy, well, in my mind, it's pretty clear what is required. We've got to change how people think about health and how investing now pays dividends over time. It's going to generate productivity, it's going to generate more competitiveness, and it's going to generate more prosperity. That may be axiomatic for many of the people in this room. It's far from clear and far from understood by many of the people who control the levers of power in this world. Health is compartmentalized, as is economics, and we have to figure out how to bring them together. We say conventionally health is wealth, and yet we don't necessarily understand how to forge that connection. So we've got to get people thinking differently. In order to do this, there are three things that we need to think about, and they're all interrelated. First of all, we've got to change the climate. Second of all, we've got to change the game. Third of all, we have to change the conversation. I'm going to unpack each of those ideas for you a little bit before moving on. It's the societal climate we're talking about, and it needs to be warm. Too often, speaking as a Canadian, of course, one sees metaphors in local terms, we live in a cold climate. We live in a climate that is not conducive to the growth of ideas. We've got to change that. A hothouse is required if ideas are going to grow. We have to understand what it takes to create a hothouse in the world for ideas to grow. We want to create a context in which people feel good, not bad. Again, back to the point about the problem. It's important for us to understand the problem. It's not important for us to make sure that everybody out there understands the problem, because it does often have a negative effect and make people feel helpless and hopeless, when in fact we want them to feel good and positive about things in the future. Lightness, brightness, hope, and engagement, these are the critical factors if we are going to change the world, and change the world we must. So we have to abandon ideas of education, which are the traditional ways of thinking about this. There is no evidence that indicates that by injecting a fact in a human brain, behavior will change. Health educators have thought this for a long time. It's demonstrably ineffective. when smoking in the United States, I believe in 1963, was declared deadly by the Surgeon General, 8 people in America quit smoking. Maybe 800 did, maybe 8,000, maybe even 80,000. But arguably very few people responded to a credible fact from a credible source and took appropriate action. Education, in the traditional sense, is not the way to make things happen. Lightness, brightness, a vision of the future, the light at the end of the tunnel, this is the world we want to create change. This is our game to win. We heard some of the questions in the first session, which played in my mind, not to be too challenging, but played in my mind to a very conventional way of thinking about power and thinking about priorities. If we think that the world is immutable, then it tells us that the people with power will not be moved unless there's some sort of revolution, and in fact, that's a losing game. We need to play a game that we can win. The locus of control, it's right here. And we heard examples of the water project and other theoretical examples that locate the power, the locus of control with the people. So let's not focus on what's wrong, let's think about what's right, and let's think about those people who are out there who do have the power if they understand that they have it. And in this particular case, we've seen example after example where that is true. And yet, for some reason, we don't believe it. So it starts with us actually believing that the locus of control is right here, right now, with us. Knowledge and know-how is here too. We know much more than we sometimes realize. We have skills that we sometimes don't realize. You see again and again people in the social sector reinventing the wheel. Why? They don't look around and realize that there is knowledge out there to be gained. And unlike in the commercial sector, people don't have a proprietary approach to this kind of knowledge. It's readily available. People are willing to share with you. People are willing to give you ideas. People are willing to tell you about their research. People are willing to come to you and teach you about what they've learned and what they haven't learned and issues and problems. There's literature. There's all kinds of stuff which is open access. We've got it. We've got to make use of it. But we first of all have to see that it's there and accessible. We need to have a new response to health challenges and opportunities. Too often we think about them in the wrong way and approach them in the wrong way. We have to believe that there is a different way. If businesses, as we heard this morning, have to reinvent themselves every 3 years in order to survive, why is it that we don't reinvent ourselves every 3 years in order to survive? I see again and again the same solutions proposed when they haven't worked ever. We see the problem, and then we do exactly the same things again and again and again. Business doesn't act like that because business that acts like that dies. Because we're not in a traditional marketplace, we very often get away with not being very businesslike and not being very results-oriented. We're very process-oriented in the health sector, and we've got to be outcome-oriented. And that means focusing on what works and what doesn't work and reinventing ourselves constantly. The conversation. Too often we're trying to tell people what's good for them, and are frustrated when they don't listen. And in fact, what we need, and I think the examples we heard this morning indicate, we have to have a very, very positive conversation. People have to be sharing. We have to be listening. We have to be collaborating. We've got to focus on the future. The past is past. The present is too. It's only the future. It's where we're going to go and how we're going to get there that really, really matters. And the future is the only thing that we all share. So we've got to focus on that future in a compelling way. Number two, we've got to be asset-based in our orientation. We've got to build on strengths, not weaknesses. We've got to focus on assets that are there. And those assets are often human. And again, the examples we heard this morning showed positively that the assets are there in the desires, the interests, the remarkable capacity of people who are often seen as in deficit. People are not in deficit unless we see them that way. They are pretty smart, pretty resilient, pretty passionate, and pretty interested in improving their own lives if they're given the opportunity. But if we don't approach it like that, then they're not going to respond like that. So again, it's up to us. We have to be collegial. We have to be collaborative. It's hard. What we think is right may not be right. What we think is needed may not be needed. What we think is the technology that will save the day may not be perceived as the technology that is appropriate. We really have to be, as I said, I've learned over the years, humble. We have to listen. We have to act. We have to hold hands together in moving forward. We have to have a conversation, not deliver a lecture, as I say, giving a lecture. We've got to be well managed. Management is critical. We have to stay focused. We've got to align our resources with our ideas and our ideals and with the interests of the people we're trying to serve. The one thing that marketing tells you, which is very simple and actually translates very, very well to this world that we're in, is that unless you are satisfying a want or fulfilling a need, there is no transaction. We have to keep that in mind, and we have to make sure that we measure ourselves constantly against our ability to actually meet a need or fulfill a want. And it's not our want, and it's not our need. It's the wants and needs of the people that we're trying to help through our focus on improving their health. Public, public, public. Location, location, location. Where we have this conversation is critical. Social change is just like justice. It can't just be done. It must be seen to be done. Social change takes place in public, not in rooms like this, not in policy rooms, not any place else. We may think about what to do, but we've got to make sure that it is seen. And it's seen in the positive light, and it's seen in sustaining light. Relationships are about this. We're not in the transaction business. We're in the relationship business, and we have to make sure that we reflect and reinforce positive things that are happening and build from there. So make sure that whatever you're doing goes public and stays public in the best sense of the word. This is a model that works. I'm running out of time, which is okay because I'm just about done. This is a model that works. It's a model that we at Manifest have developed because of the years we've been doing this and the desire to boil things down to their simplest possible terms. There are four things that we need to do, but first of all, we need to understand what we are. My proposition is that MWP is a change agent, that what we are here to do is to trigger, foster, and reinforce positive movement towards our goals and objectives. In order to do that, there are four things that must contribute, and they must be approached in an integrated and integrated and integrating way. First of all, we need to know. We have to have at our hands all the knowledge we possibly can, in particular our knowledge about markets and publics. The science of the issue we may understand. You know, William Osler said that it's more important to understand what the patient that has the disease than the disease that has the patient. And I think we have to apply that. We must understand people and use that knowledge. Once we understand people and we understand our issues, we have to become champions. We have to become advocates in the best sense of the word. When we go public, we have to champion ideas. We have to champion a vision. We have to champion the future. And that contributes to creating the social climate that I talked about earlier. Once we do that, we create an appetite. We create an appetite for more knowledge, for more information. We heard from Hans, and we saw examples of all those companies that are suddenly trying to do these joint ventures. Well, they have to have somebody to call. They have to have somebody who's going to come and see them. They have to have resources, the internet, literature, movies, all those kinds of things that inform people once they are interested. And finally, we need to inspire. This is not about our action, it's about their action. It's not just about the good for people out there, it's about the engagement of people out there. We have knowledge to transfer, but we've got to transfer more than anything the excitement, passion, and inspiration that the world can change and that people can change their own lives through their actions. If we do all of these things, then you have the virtuous circle. You have a dynamic. This is a cyclotron for social change, and right at the center of it is the change agent, in this particular case, the McGill World Platform. So we have an idea. We've got to put it to work in the best possible way. The measure of success, there are three things that I'll leave you with. Number one, we've got to believe that we can. Our attitudes are critical. We've got to measure them. We've got to track them. We've got to build on them. Number three, we are. The cup may not be half full, but it's not empty and draining fast. We hear about problems and not enough about solutions. Here today, we're hearing about solutions. Success generalizes. We have to actually measure what's happening and keep track of positive steps, not losing ground. People are poor. People are hungry. People are lacking water. All those things are true, and that keeps us focused. But we've also got to realize that all around the world, in communities, in countries, in regions, good things are happening. And we've got to track them. We've got to know what they're teaching us. We've got to be understanding what we need to measure. And finally, we will. Intent is so, so critical. And translating that intent into action. Once we are able to focus on our goal and quantify it, we can measure the progress we're going to have to make against it. We can, we are, we will. This hopefully is a message of inspiration to all of us, and that translates into inspiration to all those people out there who need so much to be fed with hope and to be engaged in solutions to the problems they have and into the many happy returns, many of which are economic, that will come from changing the world. Thank you.